Welcome to the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. I'm Oisín Langan. Today we're reacting to the Bank Holiday Monday games and we look ahead to the Republic of Ireland's encounters with France and England with Kira Carusa. Coming up, we've got Barry Murphy, formerly of St. Pat's, Bowes and Shamrock Rovers, on Bowes' 2-0 win away to Galway United. We'll also have ExtraTime.com's Christine Allen on Shell's scoreless draw with Derry. Plus there's Colin Hawkins who watched both the games in Inchicore and the scoreless draw in the Louth Derby. As well as all that, we'll have a First Division roundup, including a voice note from Wexford's 1-1 draw with leaders Cork City. Now, the atmosphere you're hearing in the background is from full time at Richmond Park, where St. Pat's beat Sligo Rovers by 3-0. Luke Turner with 2 goals in the first half before Mason Melia added a third late on. During the game, Sligo Rovers defender Nando Pineacker was stretchered off after a collision with Ed McGinty. The game was stopped for a long, long time. Pineacker got quite badly hurt. After the game, I spoke to both managers, as well as two-goal hero Luke Turner. But first, let's get the analysis of former St. Pat's, Dundalk, Bowes and Shamrock Rovers defender Colin Hawkins.
Yeah, totally dominant display from St. Pat's, to be honest. And a clean sheet was a massive bonus for them. There was a bit of a crisis before the game in terms of right-backs injured. And it's funny the way things work out. Luke Turner goes in at right full. So you have three big centre-halves playing across the back four. And then to chip in with 2 goals from set plays was a bonus. But Pats were very dominant. As I said, they kept a clean sheet. And 3-0 didn't flatter them, to be honest. I don't remember Danny Rogers making a save for Pats. So everything that went wrong for Sligo in the day probably did go wrong in terms of injuries, etc. But a really good win for Pats. And it gets them bouncing again for Friday night with Rovers coming to town.
And we will talk about that. Of course, Shamrock Rovers getting a 2-1 win away to Waterford this afternoon. Nolan and Bulger came in to start while there was an enforced change with Freeman having to drop out and Keely coming in. But that also maybe allowed a bit of a change of shape. What difference did those changes make to St. Pat's?
Energy, rotation, a bit of everything. I was really, really impressed with Aaron Bulger. For me, he was an outstanding man of the match for me, even though Luke Turner got his 2 goals. Might be a bit harsh, but he was really good. And he just got players playing, buzzing around alongside him. Jamie Lennon was excellent as well. And I thought we saw more Rory Keating tonight than we have in the previous 3 or 4 games, just because there was more bodies were able to get up closer to him. There was great rotation between Keane Levy, as I said. Brandon Kavanagh came on for Jake Mulroney, who got a knock in the first half. And again, he had a really, really good game. You know, he played for about 70 minutes. So just a lot of positives for Pats. Getting bodies up closer to Rory Keating. The fans have been crying out for that. And sometimes you're forced into a couple of changes and you just tweak on a system that just worked. It definitely worked this evening for Pats and they looked a lot better this evening.
Same again for Friday night in Shamrock Rovers. If Mulroney is available, he went off injured, of course.
Yeah, it was a huge call. I mean, you've left your player of the year and the marquee player at St. Pat's. We all know how talented Chris Forrester was, so it was a brave call. But probably a necessary change. Chris hasn't been firing this season so far. So they left him on and it was great for as a manager. You're 3-0 up and you have the luxury then to bring him on to keep him happy. And he looked sharper when he came on. So whether he brings him back in on Friday night for a big game, but I probably wouldn't change anything. You know, Mulroney might be the only injury doubt, but apart from that, I'd be going with exactly the same again against Rovers.
We can't really judge Sligo Rovers from today. They looked tired. It was the second away game for them over the weekend. And I know John Russell said before the game, well, that shouldn't make a difference, but I think it does. And of course, they lost players through injury. Let's hope, by the way, that Pineacker is okay. He was stretchered off and taken away. McGinty had to go off a couple of minutes after that. And it just wasn't their day. Just anything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Yeah, I haven't seen them live this season. That's the first time I've seen them. I was disappointed with them. But you're giving them the benefit of the doubt because of that long trip to Waterford, etc. And things did go wrong. But technically, they've some really good players. Max Maddow up top, Conor Malley in midfield looks really good. They brought on a couple of lively lads in the second half. So there's a lot of positives there for Sligo. They do try and play in the right way. And they have a huge game, a Western Derby against high-flying Galway United on Saturday to look forward to. So it's a perfect game for them to try and bounce back because they have been on a good run. So it was one of them days. Sometimes things just don't, nothing goes right for you. But they're out there doing their cool down. The players ready to go again for Saturday.
Just before I let you go, you did get a look at most of the game. I think the Dundalk draw had a one, the Louth Derby, which kicked off at 1 o'clock. That's the great thing about all these kickoff times being spread out. You get to watch more football. What did you make of it? A scoreless draw between Dundalk and Drogheda.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game. After watching Drogheda on Friday, I thought they might kick on again while Dundalk are down where they are. There was a really harsh red card, I thought. It was probably a really stupid tackle, but I think it was Luke Heaney. He got a red card, and that's where Dundalk, in the position they're in, you have to kick on. I think there was still 20, 25 minutes left. They need to go on and win the game. For me, they were probably unlucky, or lucky not to concede a penalty where John Mountney got caught the wrong side. But, you know, it's again, Stevie Donnelly still chasing that first win, and it doesn't get any easier. They've got Derry City next up, so real problems at Oriel Park. And I know there's a bit of pressure on Stevie O'Donnell, but you know, it wasn't a great game. We're hoping this game is a cracker. We go home now and watch Bowes and Galway. Hopefully that's a good one too.
Okay, Colin Hawkins, formerly of St. Pat's, thank you very much for joining us here in Richmond Park, where you join me on LOI TV for St. Pat's 3-0 win against Sligo Rovers. This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. I'm now going to go over to the other side of the pitch and do the post-match interviews with the managers. Hopefully we'll hear from a player or two as well. That will take me a few minutes, but for you listening, you're going to get those interviews right this very second. John Russell, Sligo Rovers manager. Look, first things first, and the most important things first is, how is Nando Pijnacker?
Yeah, he's gone up to the hospital. I think he could have broken ribs. It was a nasty collision, as everyone saw. Obviously, we stopped the game for about 10, 15 minutes. It was a nasty one, so we'll just have to wait and see what the prognosis is.
Okay, we'll send him our best. What about the performance today? Obviously, looked disappointing to lose, but can you put your finger on what went wrong?
I think you asked me before the game about the two away games, and you know, would it be feeling fresh coming in? Probably looked like we weren't. Didn't get to second balls. Looked a bit leggy and tired. That's how it transpired. You go concede from two set plays away from home, 2-0 down. Especially the first one, yeah, you get done, but to get a second one just before half time kind of kills you a little bit. Thought second half when we went two up top, looked a little bit more of a threat, but then the injury and kills the game. And look, we weren't at the races. We'd have to dust ourselves down. Pats with a better team in the night.
Cheers, John.
Thank you.
John Daly, St. Pat's manager, a 3-0 victory against Sligo Rovers. What are your thoughts on the win and the performance?
Yeah, obviously delighted to get 3 points. It's important to get the results. We're well aware of that, and we haven't had enough of that. I thought the performance was very, very good. 3-0 was, I thought it would have been 4 or 5. You know, they couldn't have complained. We had numerous opportunities. I thought we were very good, loads of energy, which is what we asked for. And, you know, credit to the players that came in, likes of Alex Nolan, Conor Keely back in the team, and Aaron Bulger, I thought was excellent today. So, no, delighted, very pleased. Obviously, really pleased for the boys. It's been a tough time for them, but it's one win, it's one result, and we need to go and build on it now.
Was that the big difference, the energy level shown today?
Yeah, I think it's something that we always look for is high energy, and I thought that was it was there in abundance today. So, no, credit to the players. As I said, some of them had to wait a while to get an opportunity, and they've got it today, and they've certainly taken it.
Talk me through Luke Turner's two goals, because they look like really well worked set pieces.
Yeah, it's a massive part of the game. We spoke about that. I think this year, I don't think it's been up to scratch. I think the boys will openly say that either the movement hasn't been timed well, or the delivery hasn't been great. And you know, we got that right today, and we managed to get a couple of goals off it. And we were very good at it last year. And I think hopefully now the players coming in see and realise that it is a huge part of the game, and it gives you a little bit of confidence and a bit of belief then to go on and, you know, get a foothold in the game and then go and play free-flowing football.
Cheers, John.
Thank you.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and I'm standing on the pitch in Richmond Park with Luke Turner of St. Patrick's Athletic. Luke, two goals in a 3-goal win against Sligo Rovers today. You must be extremely happy.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised, but I'm pretty happier with the clean sheet than the two goals, because I know we have strikers up there like Mace that came on that can score goals, but I think my job as a centre-back is to keep them out, and we're starting to do that. I think the last four games we've had 3 clean sheets, I think. So no, it was really pleasing today, the performance as well, the way we dug in and stuff like that. I thought it was really pleasing.
Did it feel different out there today, because it did look different?
I think the boys, like every single game, we've put our heart and soul into it, and I think maybe things haven't gone our way, but I think it was a bit of a kick in the backside that we do need to start playing. And I thought just the energy that we brought, you know, it was a Monday, we played on Friday over in Drogheda, that was a tough game, and we just showed so much energy. Like, it was the first game of the season, we were buzzing to go again, so I thought it was brilliant the way the boys deployed themselves on the pitch, and it was really fun.
And was it good as well to back up Friday night's result, which was a good point away to Drogheda? They're tough to beat in Weavers Park. a game in which he created chances as well. Was it good to back it up with a win tonight? So that's kind of two good back-to-back performances.
Yeah, I think if you're 25, 26 games into the season, you take 4 points out of them two games in the position that they're in. So, yeah, I think the main thing today was getting the 3 points. Obviously, we would like three on Friday, but I think the main thing is starting to climb up the table. But it's only one game, and there's a massive one on Friday. So we just have to back it up, basically.
Does it mean an awful lot to play for St. Pat's? Because you would have come here as a kid a lot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I used to watch the boys. It's probably about 10 years ago now, but like whichever club I've been at, like I put my heart and soul on the pitch. Like at the end of the day, people are coming to watch us and people are paying money to watch us, so they deserve everything from us. I got cramped there at the end, so I hope that showed them enough how much I was trying to just put in a shift for the team and make them enjoy the game.
And what's it like being on the pitch here and playing here as opposed to watching here?
Yeah, it's crazy. I used to watch the likes of like Lee Desmond and Sean Hoare, who's obviously Rovers now, at the back, and now it's me, which I think it's mad because back in the day I thought they're unbelievable, you know what I mean? The likes of Christy Fagan and all, and now I'm on the pitch. So it does mean a lot to me. I think it means a lot to a lot of the players, even boys that aren't maybe supporters of the club. I think they see how much it means to fans. And I'm glad we, like, that result today was probably more for the fans than us, you know. I think they really deserve that, the way they've acted towards us for the whole season. So I think, yeah, they deserved it today.
And you went an unusual route to get here, going up to Cliftonville. How would you compare the two, the Irish League and the League of Ireland? I know, you know, they're on the same island, and the clubs, attitude-wise, they could be quite similar, and the fans are you know, there's more that kind of unites us than divides us. But what's it actually like difference-wise on the pitch?
Obviously, there's a lot more full-time teams down here, so maybe it is a bit quicker. But I think the one thing up north that it did show me is how much love fans have for the club. I was at Cliftonville, which was a real family-oriented club, and that's why I chose to come to Patsy of all the clubs down here. Like, the way the fans are so close to the ground, and how you meet all of them through just local day-to-day stuff. But in terms of the leagues, I think both offer different sort of stuff. Maybe up in the Irish League, the Northern Irish League, it's more maybe a bit hustle and bustle and a bit more longer ball, but there is top players up there as well. We've seen that Ben Doherty's at Derry now, he was up there. But no, it's nice to be home, yeah.
But you did play good football at Cliftonville. I got to watch you an awful lot when you were there, and I suppose it prepared you well for coming here.
Yeah, the way we played up there was madness sometimes. I was an overlapping centre-back, which I don't think I've ever seen before. So it prepared me well for playing it. Like today, I was playing right-back, but I didn't mind playing there because I played left-back for a season up north. So, no, it definitely prepared me well in terms of senior football. I think that's major for young players to go out and play senior football, because it is hard to adapt to it compared to maybe the League of Ireland under-19s and 17s. So, no, yeah, good.
And you have to adapt when you're playing here, don't you? Because sometimes you're three at the back and sometimes you're four at the back. Horses for courses and all that.
Yeah, I know the fans get frustrated that, you know, it's a lot of change. But I think with the type of teams that you're playing, you kind of do need to adapt sometimes. Like the likes of Sligo, they play some slick football, but they can go direct as well at times. Rovers will pose a different threat on Friday. So I think it's just about adapting. I think the best teams that can adapt to situations in game are probably going to win the league at the end of the season.
You mentioned that it is Shamrock Rovers on Friday night now. I actually did notes on you, but I'm terrible for forgetting what I've written. Were you with Rovers at one point?
Yeah, I was part of the Damien Duffs, so okay. Everybody was involved there, yeah, in the league. Yeah. No, I had a brilliant time up in Rovers. Obviously, I was always a Pats man, but obviously I couldn't say that up there. But no, it'll be interesting on Friday. They're doing well now. They've started to kick on, and hopefully we can kick on from today.
That'll be some occasion, won't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. I seen the Bows and Rovers game there the other night. I seen the atmosphere there, and I think here will be no different. Maybe you're a bit closer to the pitch here, so I think it'll be a bit more cagey affair. But I think having both sets of fans full stacked out, I think it'll be unbelievable to watch.
And just before I let you go, you've mentioned it numerous times, the fans being close to the pitch. You seem to feed off that energy, as does this team. Some teams don't, but you definitely seem to be one of those teams who do.
Yeah, I love it. I think someone said on one of the fans over there when I was taking the throw and said, you must dye that beard because it's so dark. And I don't know where he got that from. But no, I love it. I think they have the right to be close to the pitch. They have the right to tell us when we're not being good enough, and they have the right to celebrate when we score goals. So no, I love it. I think the fans make it. I think if you went back to COVID times and there was no one here, it's kind of, it's a bit pre-season-y, you know what I mean? So I think the fans being here, especially in that corner over there, it's unbelievable.
Luke, great to chat to you. Best of luck on Friday night.
Thank you very much. Sure.
Let's move to Tolka Park, where Shells drew nil all with Derry City. After the game, Damien Duff said it was a heroic effort from his side, as most of them had been hit by a bug in recent days, and that led them to spending a lot of time on the toilet. I don't think I need to add any more detail. By the way, Damien Duff was rocking a fantastic beard on Bank Holiday Monday night. Extratime.com's Christine Allen was there and talks us through an intense last 20 minutes through the medium of this voice note.
You got the sense that Derry fans, they weren't too happy up till about the 70th minute. They didn't feel they were getting much bang for their buck following that long journey from the north. And one supporter, you know, urging his team to, you know, take Duff's side on while their bench urged them to get a smile on their faces, which is a new one in terms of motivational speak for me. But it seemed to work. So Tony Robbins, take note if you're a listener, which I'm sure you are. There was a lot of press then applied by Derry. There was a free kick that resulted from that. Will Patching was very involved in the second half and really making things happen. And his free kick in the 70th minute was tipped away. It was a close one to the left by Conor Kearns for a corner. While Tyreek Wilson for the Reds, he was forced to protect his back post in front of a dangerous delivery by Patching once again, who, yeah, as I said, he was the real artist of the game. And then by this stage, Duff, he was almost defying gravity in his line. He was actually hopping. And, you know, he was vociferous in his directions to his 11 to keep it tight. You know, he was giving John O'Sullivan thumbs up. He was making sure that they were awake. He sensed the danger. And in the additional 6 minutes that were awarded, you know, there was a lot of Tolka faithful fans on the edge of their seat. It was heart and mouth stuff. Patching lobbed an inviting ball and time slowed down. But it bounced unfavourably for Mullen, and that allowed Kearns, who had wisely, you know, and bravely come off his line to get a touch. That allowed him to tip it away, but I say this quite tongue-in-cheek, he was rewarded then for his bravery with the ball bounced on his head. He'd no control over that, and I'm sure he was absolutely delighted to see it land then at McJanet's feet. But in fairness to him, he didn't panic. He planted his feet, he stayed where he was, and McJanet played it then straight into his hands. And Derry and Shells were destined to share the spoils in a really exciting, engaging and thrilling contest. I'm really looking forward to heading back to Tolka Park, O'Sheen. Thanks.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that was ExtraTime.com's Christine Allen on a intense last 20 minutes at Tolka Park, where Shelburne and Derry City ended scoreless. It sounds, though, like it was a great effort from the Shelburne players. Damien Duff said it in his post-match interview. You can see it on the League of Ireland social media channels that they were very badly hit by a bug. Rory Higgins seemed happy enough as well with the point. They'd lost their last two in a row. And the defeat on Friday night really hit them. And Higgins said afterwards that he needed men to stand up. And they seemed to do that. Now, the team that beat them last Friday night was Galway United. On Monday night, they hosted Bohemians. The game was live on Virgin Media. And Barry Murphy, formerly of St. Pat's Bulls and Shamrock Rovers, watched it from the comfort of home. After the game, which ended 2-0 to Bulls, he sent us this voice note.
Thanks, O'Sheen. In a rather lacklustre opening 20 minutes, it took a moment of quality from the left foot of Dale Rooney to break the deadlock. His perfectly crafted free kick 10 yards inside the Galway half found Jevon Mills, whose delicate flick beat Brendan Clark at the back post, and it was no less than the Dublin outfit deserved. John Caulfield changed it up at halftime and brought Stephen Walsh into the fray and looked to return to their more direct routes that have served him well this year. Corner after corner reined in on the Bohemians' patched up back four. But Cherazka, the 6'3" Polish goalkeeper, dealt with the bombardment expertly. Jordan Flores, who played alongside Mills at centre-half, made light work of the repeated predictable assaults. He really felt Galway needed to change up their set pieces as they tried to overload the six-yard box time after time to no success. Bohemians themselves forced another corner, one of 13 on the night, and a combination of a brilliant ball in from the excellent Rooney and poor tribesman defending found Akintunde, whose header dribbled in at the far post. Whatever happened to manning the posts? Galway had a great chance themselves late on as a floated ball into the box wasn't cleared and a deflected header was goal-bound until Mills brilliantly cleared off the line. Galway looked tired and tootless and really surprised Galway didn't change it up from Friday night. Walsh made more chances in the 20 minutes he was on than the other 70. A worrying trend for Galway United supporters as Pats, Rovers and Bows have all gone there and won. On Bohemians, Alan Reynolds would be delighted. Flores and Mills and Tarasca brilliant at the back. Rooney exquisite on the right and a really galvanising performance to lift the Dublin men up to sixth. Thanks, O'Sheen.
Thank you very much, Barry. John Caulfield, the Galway United manager, was very disappointed and seemed quite down in his post-match interview with Virgin Media. For Alan Reynolds, next up, it's Waterford at Dalymount Park. Now, Keith Long, after Waterford's defeat to Shamrock Rovers last night, told LOI TV that it will be his first time back to Dalymount Park. Now, I'm not sure if he meant first time back as a manager, or just generally speaking, I couldn't blame him, or I wouldn't blame him if he stayed away, because when he left, I think he was really hurt by it. And not long after, he joined us on the League of Ireland show on LOI TV, which was a highlight show, not last season, the season before. And he just seemed really down and really hurt about his departure from the club, but not bitter. And there was no anger. But it did mean an awful lot to him to be Bo's manager. And I think the fans will give him a good welcome when he goes back there on Friday night when Waterford take on Bo's. Last night, by the way, Waterford undone by Burns and Lopez goals either side of Robbie McCourt's equaliser. Right, let's go to the first division. We'll have a full roundup in a moment. But first, let's go to Ferry Carrick Park, where league leaders, first division leaders Cork City, took on Wexford. The game ended 1-1. ExtraTime.com's Pat O'Connor was there and afterwards sent us this voice note.
City owned and dominated the first half. Wexford owned and dominated the second half. So it was an interesting game overall. Played in front of a big crowd, 1,151 people. And it was very sunny down here in the southeast today. City got off to the best possible start. Their very first attack in about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, they got a goal. The ball was played from the centre circle down to Keane Bargey on the right wing. He skipped past the full back and drove a low cross in, and Jaden Uma finished the ball to the net. A really good goal for City. They did go on to dominate most of the first half without really looking like scoring a second. Their best effort for a second goal came from a corner, well driven in by Greg Bolger, which Barry Coffey met, but it was over the bar. They had a few other kind of half chances, but overall didn't really do enough to get a second goal that might have buried the game. And then, as I said at the outset, Wexford were transformed in the second half, and City's performance dropped off alarmingly, so I would suggest. In the 63rd minute, a well-worked move by Wexford saw Aaron Dobbs shield the ball in the box, but he's back to goal. He laid it off, and Mikey Rowe finished the ball to the net to make it 1-1. And from then on to the end, Wexford certainly had the better chances. Their subs, Luka Lovic and Thomas Alua in particular, were very dangerous and caused a lot of trouble to the City defence. And as I said, City's performance really dropped off, which was kind of worrying for a manager, Tim Clancy, and certainly worrying for a team that are currently and still top of the league, but obviously with aspirations to get into the Premier Division next season. Anyway, it's still a point. They didn't lose. They're still top of the table. And they have another tough game next Friday night when they play Cove Ramblers in the Cork Derby in Turner's Cross, while Wexford now have back-to-back home fixtures here in Ferry Carrick Park. They step out next Friday night and welcome Treaty United. So that's it. 1-1, share the points at Ferry Carrick Park.
So that result means that Cork City remain on top, but only by a point. Finn Harps are second following their 2-0 win against Bray Wanderers. In the other games, Athlone Town beat Treaty United 1-0, and UCD drew 1-1 with Kerry. Cove Ramblers and Longford Town ended 1-1. How does that make the table look? Well, we've given you the top two anyway. So let's take a look at the rest. UCD are third on 13 points. They're 4 points behind second place Finn Harps. Treaty United in fourth on 11 points. Athlone Town fifth on 9 points. Wexford sixth on 8 points. Cove Ramblers seventh on 7 points. Bray Wanderers eighth on 6 points. And Kerry second from bottom on 5 points. Longford are bottom of the pile on 3 points. They've only played 6 games. Wexford also have only played 6 games. Everyone else has played either 7 or 8. Let's run you back through the Premier Division scores. Just to remind you, Dundalk 0, Drogheda United 0, Shelburne 0, Derry City 0, St Pat's 3, Sligo Rovers 0, Waterford 1, Shamrock Rovers 2, and Galway United 0, Bohemians 2. Let's run you through the table. Shelburne 8 points clear on 20 points after 8 games. Sligo Rovers 2nd on 12 points after 8 games. Derry City 3rd on 12 points also after 8 games. Shamrock Rovers have only played 7 games, but they have 12 points. St Pat's now in 5th position on 10 points after 8 games. Bowes 6th on 10 points after 7 games. Galway United 7th on 10 points after 8 games. Waterford 8th on 8 points after 8 games. Drogheda United 2nd from bottom on 6 points after 7 games. And Dundalk bottom on 3 points from 7 games. What's coming up next in the Premier Division? Well, a full range of fixtures on Friday night and on Saturday. On Friday, it's Bowes against Waterford, Derry City take on Dundalk, Drogheda United meet Shelburne, and St Pat's play Shamrock Rovers. All of those games kick off at 7:45. In the First Division, Bray Wanderers meet Athlone, Cork City are taking on Cove Ramblers, Finn Harps play UCD, Kerry take on Longford, and Wexford meet Treaty. On Saturday, in the Premier Division, it's that Connacht derby between Sligo Rovers and Galway, kicks off at 7:45. That's on in the showgrounds. There is no women's Premier Division next weekend. That's because international football takes centre stage, and we'll concentrate on that now, because on Friday in France, Ireland take on the French. Kickoff is at 8:10 Irish time. The game is live on RTE2 television. There's another big one then on Tuesday at the Aviva Stadium at 7:30 as Ireland play host to England. Kira Carusa of the San Diego Waves is in the squad for both games. And at yesterday's media day, she spoke to ExtraTime.com's McDara Ferris.
These are the games you want to be playing in, the positions you want to be in. Though challenging and obviously can be daunting to some, I'd say at this level, like being a professional, if you're not wanting that, then what are you doing? Kind of a thing. Like, what are you trying to? How are you going to get better? Where are you trying to, you know, expand into? So, our group is quite an exciting group, I'd say.
And do you have that experience of playing in the Aviva Stadium? You scored the last time in Ireland, played against Northern Ireland in that win, again in terms of 36,000 fans. So that's, you know, the big crowd next Tuesday night won't daunt you guys.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, like having come off the World Cup after that game as well, that's some of the biggest, you know, biggest crowds we'd ever played in front of. You learn a lot really quickly. I'd say that it becomes quite normal, honestly, and it's weird because before the World Cup, people say that and you're just like, but how? And then when you do play in the game, you realize that it kind of just becomes background noise at that point, rather than like this like new novelty, which is kind of exciting as well, because to see us as a team, to like know that playing in front of that many people is kind of just becomes a norm, is a really exciting thing to feel. But yeah, I am excited to see how, you know, be back in Aviva. It was a great experience last time, and we're looking forward to it this time as well.
And how is your fitness? You're at a different stage of the season for many of the players within the squad who are playing here in Europe. You know, you're early enough in your season. So how are you feeling ahead of this game?
Yeah, I feel great. I'd say that after the last camp and the last few weeks that we've had in between the between last time and now, I feel really well. I'm healthy, fit, which is great. Knock on wood, just to be sure. And I feel like mentally, physically, emotionally too, I'm, you know, I feel a bit like I'm in a very good point in my, with myself and with my team and stuff as well. So I feel like that is another boost of confidence for a player in a lot of ways. And I'm excited to be able to come into this camp running because I feel good for it.
And within this group, get a chance to play Sweden. You have two of your club mates back in San Diego are Swedish as well. A bit of banter, I'm sure, when the group came out and you get to play them again. But it's not daunting for you guys. You know, one of the best results this team has had was that 1-1 draw away against Sweden in Gothenburg. I know it's France and England this week, but in terms of the makeup of this group.
Yeah, no, funny you say that. Yeah, when I came into the locker room, everything had been announced earlier in the morning for us. So when we had woken up and we come in, obviously, like, we got the news. And we all just, like, chuckled at each other because we were like, you know what? Of course we were going to be in the same group together. And of course we were going to be joined by France and England. Why would it be any other way? But I think that it's a game that game in Gothenburg is a game that, you know, we still remind ourselves. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, and even my teammates, they talk about that game as well still, which is pretty funny to know that, like, they look at that and they go, like, this is why we didn't want to have you guys in our group, because they understand firsthand the difficulty it is to play a team like us, and especially now where we are as to where we were when we played them in that game. So I think that it's good to know that, like, those things stick with teams as well. I mean, we were just playing France as well right before the World Cup, and that was quite an exciting game for a bit of it, and it could have taken a few turns had there been certain calls called, but, like, you know, it's football, but again, I think that's also something that, like, a team like France looks at and goes, like, you know, they remember that when they get drawn into a group with us.
Republic of Ireland forward Ciara Caruso speaking to ExtraTime.com's MacDara Ferris ahead of a big couple of Euro 2025 qualifiers against France away on Friday night and then against England at the Aviva next Tuesday. If you can't make those games, you can watch them live on RTE television. Luke Jordan will be back on Wednesday or Thursday with the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland podcasts. No doubt there'll be more talk also about the Republic of Ireland's Euro 2025 qualifiers. If you've come this far, it means maybe you don't hate us. I hope that's the case anyway. If you could like or subscribe or rate us or leave a positive review on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on, I would be forever grateful. Don't forget, you can get the contact details for ExtraTime.com on the website, ExtraTime.com. We're also on X at ExtraTime News, and you can find me on X via at Oisin Langan. I'll be back in some way, shape or form on Saturday. It's an unusual one for me on Friday night. My dad's birthday party is on, so I can't go to a game on Friday night. It was a tough call. There was a debate, but I have decided to go to my dad's birthday party. And it means I miss St. Pat's against Shamrock Rovers, which I'm really not happy about. But, you know, family's the most important thing and all that. Colin Mullany will be in for me on LOI TV at Inchicore, and no doubt he'll do a great job and it will be a great game. So enjoy that, or whatever game you're going to watch or go to. That's it for me. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.